Praise God, praise God, praise God. Isn't God good? All the time, yes. We'd like for all of you to stand. Several years ago, I received a call from missionary Alan Demas. He had one son here attending college, and he wanted to send his second son here, Phil. So Joel continued in college, but he transferred to Christian Life College in Stockton. Phil began to work with our young people, and we just loved him so much we wouldn't let him leave. So he's been here, and he married our very own Fiona. And what an awesome couple they are. Great team players. I love Brother Phil. He's an outstanding, effective a preacher, youth secretary of our state, and we want him to bring the word of the Lord to us at this time. Give him a great big welcome. We love you, Phil. God bless you.
Amen. While you're standing, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Amen. February already. Month of love for those who are married. The month of wishing you had love if you're not married. Proverbs chapter 29, and we're also going to go to Psalms 119, but let's start in 29, verse 18 of Proverbs. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And then going to Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's pray together that God would just speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your presence that we feel, Lord Jesus, that you are alive, Lord, and able, Lord Jesus, to do above, abundantly, above all we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, challenge us, encourage us, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'm going to speak on the topic, God of the Next Step. It is February 3rd, 2012. We've already left the month of January behind us. January is a month of new beginnings. Hallelujah, because it's almost spring, 1 month closer. But January is a month of new beginnings, of new starts, of new vision, of new resolutions, new determination to see something great in our lives. January is the month of vision. And vision, as Scripture tells us in our opening Scripture, is so vital in our lives. We have heard it the past couple months preached over this pulpit, the importance of having vision as a church, our ministry, our families, our personal lives. And we should have vision in all of these. And I'm thankful for a church. I'm thankful for a pastor that has vision. Amen. I'm thankful for that new year, a new start. But vision is out there. It's something we see down the road. It's a place or a state that we are striving for. We hope to be at. We long for. Scripture says that without it, the people perish. The word perish here meaning loosen or dismiss or absolve. Without vision, we begin to let up on things that were once sacred, or we begin to let up on achieving great things in our lives. Vision is what drives us. It's what challenges us. It's what pushes us to a greater level. Elsewhere in Scripture, we read the Lord speaking through the prophet Habakkuk to the people about vision in Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And applies today that we need to make the vision plain. We need to write it down, what the Lord gives for our lives, a vision for our lives. We need to solidify it in our minds that this is where God is taking us personally, or as a family or ministry or church. But today is the first Sunday of February. The month of vision and new beginnings is already gone, and you may be sitting here this morning no closer to seeing that wonderful vision come to pass that you had set or that you had gotten. That vision of being in shape, may not have started yet, according to the scale this morning. Oh, I want to be thin. Well, the scale doesn't say anything different than January 1. Thank God for vision, but it doesn't tell us what we're doing. Or you may be no better of a husband or father this morning than what you have envisioned that you want to be, what you envisioned of yourself in the future. Why? Because vision, in its very essence, describes where we are going, but it does not tell us how we are going to get there. It doesn't tell what we should do today or what step we should take. Let me put it this way. I'm probably the best friend of every 8-year-old. I collect Legos, 145 sets and counting, 50,000 pieces. And I'm like the 8-year-old who goes into the Lego store at Mall of America, and there it is, that huge 2,000-piece, awe-inspiring castle. And you see the box, and you're just like, wow, vision is a picture on that Lego box. It's like, someday, that's what it will look like. But we get home, and we open the Lego box, and we don't find that awesome castle built in the Lego box. It's not there. No, it's just a bunch of pieces. We don't wake up the next morning thinner and in shape just because, you know what? I have this vision to be thin. And we write it down. This is my vision to be this many pounds less. And God's like, oh, you have a great vision. And you wake up and it's like, oh. Unless someone changes the mirror and it distorts it. And, you know, like, oh my goodness. We don't become a better husband or better father if that's our vision the next morning when we wake up. No, the Lego is a box of full of pieces. And that Lego comes together by following the steps that you are given within the Lego. And so it is with us. Life is lived with each step along the way. Vision in our lives comes to pass with a whole lot of steps between now, where we're at, and when the vision comes to fruition in our lives. So our life today, our life tomorrow, our life each and every day, each and every hour is in the next step. And God wants to be God of your next step. When we look into Scripture, we find vision talked about, but we also find Scripture speaking about the steps we are to take. We read in our opening Scripture, Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, the instruction manual for a Lego set has every step laid out. And when I buy a new Lego, I actually like to peruse through the whole instruction because I want to see where I'm going to go and how each step. And, oh, cool, they had this cool thing on the castle. How did they actually, before I even start building it, I start looking at the steps. But in our lives, it's not like that. Our instruction manual, the Word of God, does not lay every step out before us. But here in Psalms, we are told that it's like a lamp that sheds light unto our feet. Enough for a couple steps at most. But oftentimes, it's just the next step. In my mind, when I read this verse, I think of the times that here in Wisconsin, I've been driving, and it's either a blizzard out, or we get those spring storms that's like a monsoon, and really all I can see, yes, I know where I'm going eventually. I know I'm going to get there, but I can't see much farther than just a couple feet in front of me, and it's like, Lord, just let me see that white line, and I'll know I'll be on the road, and it's just a couple more feet that I can see. And that's what I think about in this scripture. Yes, I know where I'm going, but you know what? It's such a blizzard. It's such a condition out there. I can't see a mile ahead of me. All I can see is just a couple feet. And if I just stay on that path, that's what I think about in this scripture. It's the same way in our lives, whether we are involving God in our steps or not. We truly can only see the next step, or at most a couple of steps, and how it will affect our lives. We may try to plan out all the steps, but how it will actually play out in our lives, we can only see the next step or the next couple steps. And so it would behoove us to place a high value on that next step. Each step that we take is vitally important, and that is why God wants to be God of your next step, of my next step. He wants to be the one that directs us, guides us, leads us. He wants his word to be the lamp unto our feet, so we go in the right direction. The Bible says in Psalms 51:5 that, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So we have a propensity to sin. It says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Speaking of folks who don't listen to the wisdom of God, Proverbs 1:31 says that, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Left to our own devices, our own way, our own path, our own steps, we will turn down a path we really don't want to go. A path that leads to eternal judgment on our souls. Why? Because we were simply born in sin. We will head down a sinful path. It's not that we may want to go down that path, but we will if left up to our own ways, our own steps. And so, again, God wants to be God of our next step. Why? Because he is righteous. He is holy. He is good. And as David said to the Lord in Psalms 139, he will lead me in the way everlasting. He wants to be God of the next step in your life and in my life. So how do we make him God of that next step? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. This is the context of it, is Jesus speaking to the multitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, as it's commonly known as. And this is the second chapter of this sermon. And it says in verse 25 of chapter 6 in Matthew, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto its stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. In a nutshell, Jesus is telling the people to stop worrying about what the next step is going to be. God wants to be God of your next step. Then he finishes it off with how to make him God of the next step in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All we have to do is seek after him. Ask him for direction. He will give you that next step. He continues on in his message a few scriptures later and makes the point in Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. He will give us the next step to take in our lives if we ask. If we seek after him, he will. It is a promise. It's not, well, if you do this and this and this, you will ask, and you know what, if you're doing right, and you know, you're, no, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. There was just this last week, just been struggling with just some thoughts and some questions I had of God, and just looking toward the future and how things will work out and how things this and that, and you know what, I simply asked. I said, God, you know, I'm tired of wrestling with these thoughts. You know, what should I be doing? I need the answer in this area. You know what? And was it a answer, direct answer? No, but he led me to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. And you know what? No, I didn't have the answer, but God was speaking to my spirit and my soul and saying, don't worry about it. I'm leading you beside still waters. Just chill out. It's okay. And just be, it's okay. And the Lord spoke to me and answered me. Why? Because I sought him. And it wasn't the way I wanted to get answered, but it was an answer to my spirit, to the very core of my being. But there are requirements for him to be God of our next step. We find in a scripture that many of us are so familiar with, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's a promise based on action on our part. If we trust and not try to figure everything out, he will direct. Again, there's no loophole. There's no if this and that. No, he will if we trust him. We should trust him because, honestly, we really can't figure things out on our own anyways. In the New Living Translation, which we don't have on the in our system, but Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. We really can't plan it out on our own. Proverbs 20:24, again in the New Living Translation, says, the Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? God wants to be God of our next step, but it requires us to trust him. There's a phrase in Scripture, the fullness of time, which indicates that when everything was ready or something happened, when it was time for it to happen, it happened. And it speaks to the fact that there is timing in God's plan. And so, yes, we should trust him, but we need to trust him in his timing. We need to trust his timing. We may be ready to take a step, but it's not time. Or we may be not ready to take that step, and God says, it's time. You need to take that step. So we must trust him. Not only God in the general, trust him in the general sense, but trust him in the timing of our next step. We must also trust his logic in the next step. Isaiah 55, verse 8, if you would turn there. Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Just because the step that he gives us doesn't make sense doesn't mean that we shouldn't take it. We look at John. Let's turn to John 5 as well. Jesus is in the city and comes to the gate. And John 5, starting in verse 7, it says the impotent man. Here's a guy laying with a bunch of other lame folks. Can't walk. And he says, he answered, Jesus, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. See, there was a pool, and every once in a while, when there that timing, you know, the pool would be troubled, and whoever got in first would be healed. And he says, hey, you know what? I'm lame. I don't have anyone to get me in the pool fast enough. Everyone else beats me. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. How healing worked was that the folks who were lame had to get into the pool while it was troubled. Then Jesus comes along and says, do it this way. Just get up and walk. I know that the custom is to do it this way. And I know that's how you've only seen it all this time, all these years. Who knows how long he was there? That's the only way you've seen anyone healed. And that's the only logical way that it could happen is if I could have someone to lift me up quick and get in there. And if they could just stay with me until the water was served. That's what makes sense. And that's what's logical. But Jesus just said, just get up and walk. And what happened? He said, okay, and took up his bed and walked. It wasn't customary. It wasn't ordinary. It may not make sense to us. It may not make sense to our logic, to our reasoning. But God is higher than us. His ways are higher than our ways. His thinking is totally outside the norm. Oftentimes, we may not be able to figure out how in the world that step could ever result in something good. Or it may be what we should do. You know, I look at the children of Israel. They just get out of Egypt. Awesome testimony. Woo, we're not slaves anymore. And I may have preached this once before, but they get to the Red Sea. And God specifically tells Moses exactly what to do and exactly what will happen. So there was no doubt. But I could just see him start, like, just lift your hands and the water's going to... No one's ever seen it before, but I'm going to do it. This is exactly what I'm going to do if you do exactly this. Just take the step. And I could just see him logically, okay, if I lift my hands, what if that doesn't happen? Or what if that, you know, this result, the Egyptians are now back there, they're chasing us, wheels start turning and, like, duh. Tries to figure, this doesn't make sense, God. Like, well, how are my hands going to do this? And, you know, how? No, he just lifted his hands and water parted. How cool is that? But it was just a step. It may not make sense. It may not be logical. Or it may be a logical step, but you don't see how it works out. Our goal, our responsibility is not to try to figure it out, but just to trust him, trust his logic. We must trust God and his logic, and we just need to take the step. We must also trust God after we see the results of the step. So we say, okay, God, I'm going to take this step, and you do it, and maybe it's not what you expected. Maybe nothing happened. Maybe you asked, and like I was just giving the example, it wasn't the answer I wanted. We look at the story of Moses again before they were delivered, and God says, go talk to Pharaoh. Go with your brother. Well, Moses took his brother along because he's afraid, or God told him to take Aaron along. And so they finally take the step. We're going to go to Pharaoh. We're going to say, let my people go. This is what God says. I mean, it'd be like us going to President Obama and said, this is what God says. I mean, in all our logic, again, back to the logic point, we'd be like, okay, God. But they did. They took the step. Didn't make sense? They took the step. And they get up to him and say, Pharaoh, this and this and this, let our people go. This is what God says. Let our people go. What happens? Pharaoh doesn't say, okay. I mean, Moses building up his faith, I could just imagine him like, I'm going to take this step, and God's just going to work in great ways, and boom, he's going to let the people go. It's going to be awesome. Woo! I could just imagine him like, well, Aaron was like Noah, like, woo! You know, it's going to be awesome. And he gets up there, let my people go, and Pharaoh's like, double the workload. Double the workload. I could be like, oh, not what I wanted. God. Sometimes a step does make sense, or it makes sense to us, and again, we can see how it could work out. We can see it just boom, this is just, doors are going to open. And things don't happen like they're supposed to in our minds. We have to trust God in the results. Because God may be working something out. Because God wanted to destroy Egypt. And it wouldn't have happened if this didn't happen, and then the plagues didn't happen, and then eventually Pharaoh's son is killed by the angel of death. And then he finally, like, get out of here, go, just leave. And then he gets mad. And none of that would have happened if he's like, okay, sure, go ahead. So God had a plan in all of it, bigger than Moses, bigger than the children of Israel could ever seen. But it just didn't make sense that these results are not what we wanted. We have to trust God. We have to trust that he will work it out for the good. Hallelujah. There is a reason for the step. When we decide to make him God of our lives, when we decide to make him God of our next step, when we trust him completely in the timing, we trust him in the logic, we trust him in the results, there are a whole lot of benefits of making him God of our next step. Number one, it takes the pressure off everyday life from our shoulders. All we have to do is look to him. That's why Jesus said, as we read earlier in Matthew, don't worry about tomorrow. When he is God of the next step, it's simply, what do you want me to do today, God? In this area, what do you want me to do? I preached a couple weeks ago in Hyphen about him being Lord and what the word Lord actually means, being a master. And all we say is, God, what do you want me to do here? And just doing it. It takes the pressure off trying to figure it out on your own. God, what do you want me to do? And it may be just wait. Just chill out. Stay by still waters.
You know, it may be go. It may be just, you know, do this, do that. It takes the pressure off. Number two, we are promised that he will answer if we seek after him. We already read it, but let's read it again in Matthew 7:7-8. It says, ask and ye shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. It's not do this and that, that. Simple things. Ask, seek, and knock, and the door will be opened unto you. God is not one to say, ha ha, I'm not going to answer you. Thanks for asking. Thanks for knocking. Psych. My word was really wrong. No. We may not get an answer right away. But remember, our basic requirement is that we must trust his timing. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. He will give us that next step to take. If we ask, he will answer. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open to us. All we have to do, and that's the beautiful benefit, is he is going to answer us. We can count on it. We can bank on it. Number three, he loves us and has great things in mind for our lives, the very best for us. Each step is perfectly lined up. It is for our good. Psalms 139:17, David is saying, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. We need to get this in our spirits, because there is such a world that projects how awful we are. We always look at the negative side of things, a negative things, parts of our being, and, oh, if I had that personality, or if I looked like this, or if I looked like that, or if I could just play this, or if I could just have that talent. No, God loves you how you are. And whatever step he's telling you to do, it's for a reason. It is for your good. How great is the sum of your thoughts, oh God? How great is the sum? When I start to think about how he looks at you. Remove everyone around you, the person beside you. No, God loves me, and he wants great things for me. And so if he tells me to do this step, it's got to be for my good. Whether I understand it or not, whether it makes sense or not, whether the result is like up to my understanding or not, it's for our good. If we are asking him and seeking him, he loves us. He wants to do great things in our lives. Number four, we can be assured that the step he tells us to take is the right step to take. We don't have to worry about him leading us off into no man's land. It's like that light on the car. As long as I see the white line, as soon as the white line starts going, I'm like, oh, great. Am I in the field or am I still on the road? No, he's not going to take us off somewhere that is not good for us. Psalms 121, verses 1 through 3. If you turn to Psalms 121. I love this. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God doesn't go to sleep. So he's leading you and guiding you. You don't have to worry about like him taking a snooze. Like, I'm not hearing from God. I'm not seeing anything. Is he sleeping? Am I really going the wrong direction or the right? No, he's not sleeping. He does not slumber. He will take you on the right path. Every step of the way is the very best step. We can be assured that it's going in the right direction. We have that vision in that God has given us for our lives. Or if we follow his steps, we can be assured that it's going that direction, that we are going to see that vision to pass. And that's the last point, number five, because each and every step is the right step. That vision that he gives for your life or your family or your ministry or this church, it will come to pass. Why? Because as pastor teaches us from Romans 12:1, if you do the will of God every single day. Let's look at Romans. I didn't give this to you, Sister Melissa. Romans 12:1. Let's turn to this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you do the will of God every single day, if you take the steps that God gives you every single day, every single hour if it needs to be for your life, every single chance, opportunity you have to seek after the Lord, if you do the will of God, the overall will of God for your life will be accomplished. It will be accomplished. Doing it every single day, that future, that vision, it will come to pass. It's not a matter of when or anything. It will come to pass. When? I don't know, but it will come to pass. We can bank on it. Follow the steps that he gives you. That picture you saw on the box cover, that Lego you saw, one step at a time, that's what's going to be produced. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand. If you would stand with me, the musicians would come at this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just be sensitive to the Lord right now. God is moving in this place. God is speaking in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be standing there. How do I let God be God of the next step in my life? Good question. Take a step out from where you're at and seek the Lord. This whole area up here up front, you can come and pray. All it is one step. We look at Zechariah 4:10 in the New Living Translation. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. You see, this was when they were going back to build the wall. Huge honking wall. They had a vision of seeing the wall completed. And it wasn't started yet. There was just a little bit. And he's speaking through Zechariah the prophet saying, don't despise these small beginnings. It's just one small step. Your first step may be a small one this morning. Your first step may be just, all right, God, I'm going to try this out. I don't know. Don't despise that small beginning. It may be a small step of faith to say, you know what, I'm going to go to the front, like he said, like he's admonishing me to. Your first step may be a small one, but it's a step. If you're here this morning and you're sick in your body, I encourage you to take a step of faith and come up here on your left up here. If you've been taking steps all over in your life and you're not going anywhere fast and it hasn't taken you anywhere, or maybe it's taken you way off course, come up here to the front. If you got things you're dealing with and you're just trying to take all these steps to figure it out, let God be the God of your next step. Let him direct your path. Come to the front right here in the middle. There'll be folks to pray with you. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, my friend, it's a step you don't want to miss. It's a step you don't want to forsake. You want to be filled with his Spirit so that he can lead you and that he can be abundantly in your life. Come up to the right up here in the front. There'll be folks to pray with you. Take a step for the Lord. Let him be God of your next step. Let him be God of that next step. Stop trying to take the steps yourself. Take the pressure off and stand by those still waters as he leads you, as he guides you. Won't you come this morning? Won't you come this morning? God has something for each and every one of us. Lead us, God. Direct us, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. He wants to be God of that next step in your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, if I only seek, your word says, I'll find. And God, I come to you this morning, seeking after you, asking of you, Lord, knocking on the door. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Won't you come this morning?